mama, mama, fashion mama. My dad was a good old man, but he died since I was one. He told my mother alone, with the responsibility in her hand. She said it's hard to get us into school. She didn't want us to go like fools. And now I've got to keep thanks for the good things she has done. Oh, mama, I love you too. And I know you love me too. Oh, mama, mama, won't make you blue. I wish that every mother was as sweet as you are.
Tonight here on the Jamaica South Coast show with the tribute to moms out there. And yes, I would like to wish all the mothers out there a very, very, very happy Mother's Day. Those that are still with us and those that have passed. I saw a lot of memories about moms today. Good memories, people expressing their love for their moms. And I, for one, would like to wish all of my siblings, all of their children who are now moms, and everybody out there in Facebook land, a very happy Mother's Day. Hey, folks, hook up with us tonight. If you want to on Facebook, you can go to crsradio.com. Go to crsradio.com. Look at the group. You will see the live link. If you would like to call into the show and talk to me, it's going to be on 661-467-2407. Once again, folks, if you want to listen to the show, you can call me. You can call me on 661-467-2407. And if you would like to, you can go to my timeline, go to crsradio.com. crsradio.com, that is on Facebook. The link is right there that you can connect directly from your computer if you'd like to. So, folks, join me tonight as we are going to be presenting once again from the South Coast live from Alligator Pond. What's going on in Alligator Pond? What's going on in the South Coast? But, of course, as you might know from the last few weeks, I've been mostly talking about COVID-19 and its effects on the South Coast and Jamaica in general. And I've been starting off the show with giving an update as to what I know as a fact of the things that have been going on. Go over with you some of the things that I noticed during the week being here on the ground. In some cases, it will verify and clarify some of what you've heard and seen in social media. In some cases, it might dispute what you've seen and heard in social media. And in some cases, it might be new information to you. But let me assure you that whatever information I'm bringing to you tonight, I'm actually bringing it from either the news, RJR, Jamaican Observer, The Gleaner, TVJ, and from what I see with my own two eyes and hear with my own two ears right here on the ground in Jamaica. As I said, I'm reporting to you live from Alligator Pond in the parish of Manchester. And I would also like to big up the group, people from Alligator Pond, who I know there are some people from that group that are possibly listening in tonight. I also like to big up the group Facebook Jamaica, which I know is also possibly listening to this broadcast tonight. I thank you all for taking the time to listen to this. And what this show is about, folks, or what it will eventually evolve into being, is actually talking more about the Jamaica South Coast and the eco-community tourism opportunities that exist on the South Coast. The fact of the matter is Jamaica South Coast is a hidden gem. And we have, as the weeks go by and as the COVID-19 restrictions start to lift, we'll be reporting to you live from different areas of the South Coast, sharing with you some things that happens in those areas, what makes it unique, type of accommodations that might be available in those areas for those of you who I know are lining up to come home right now and would like to know of a place that you can actually stay and actually enjoy yourself and enjoy the real culture and integrate and interact back into Jamaica. The attractions are local, the restaurants are local, so you're actually bringing the income into the area itself, supporting Jamaican businesses, getting 4- and 5-star treatment, accommodations are great, you have a much more relaxed atmosphere, and you actually get to enjoy the country the way the country is. And the South Coast of Jamaica offers that in more ways than one, whether it be guest houses, villas, small hotels, and of course the local restaurants and bars, which are just dying to reopen, okay? But that's as the weeks go by. We will be talking more about Venture Out. We won't have a 6 p.m. curfew, so I'll be able to venture out and broadcast live from different places. I will also get you to be able to listen to other people, as I will have people from the businesses and the community and people that are involved with tourism come on to the show, and we talk a little bit about where we're at. But right now, because of the restrictions that exist in Jamaica, and rightfully so, I have to kind of broadcast from home because, of course, if you heard what that little girl said, government said with a ton of a yard, and I'm staying at my yard as much as I possibly can. So with that said, folks, I'm going to be breaking away to some music during the night as we celebrate Mother's Day. Want to try to keep this a little bit on a higher note than we have in the past few weeks, because in the past few weeks, we've been pretty much just talking about COVID-19. And rightfully so, because I know a lot of people listening into this show right now are actually listening in to get an update as to what has happened during the week. So With that said, let me first of all remind you that you are on the Caribbean Radio Show. This is Maurice Harrison, and this is the Jamaica South Coast Show. And if you would like to participate and or ask questions, make a comment, or just wish somebody a happy Mother's Day, feel free to call in. Write this down, folks, the number 661-467-2407. If you don't know the number, you can't remember it or can't write it down, go to crsradio.com. Right there on the news, on the news feed, you'll see the link of the show that's going live. If you have a comment or a question, you can actually put that comment and question in there. I'll be more than happy to answer it as well. Okay? So this is crsradio.com on Facebook for the Facebook users. If you are calling in from your phone, it's 661-467-2407. Now, that's to listen to the show. If you want to talk to me or ask a question or make a comment or just to say something, when you call in on the 661-467-2407 number, press the number 1 on your phone. If you press the number 1, I will know that you have a question or a comment, or you just want to say hello or say happy Mother's Day to one of your favorite moms out. That said, I'm going to get the serious stuff out of the way here tonight and just cover COVID-19. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the fishing industry in Alligator Pond. How is it an eco-community tourism attraction? How is it applicable to eco-community tourism? And how COVID-19 is affecting that industry right now. We're going to talk a little about the fishermen drawing scene, which I was able to watch this week and actually participate in, and want to share a little bit of that, the experience with you. I want to share a little bit about the dogs that I observe on the beach at nights and their very organized way of hunting. And I'm also going to share with you tonight a little bit about how River Bus got a river bus this week, and I want to try to explain to everybody what river busing means, because I live right by the Alligator Pond River, which is a great attraction. And once COVID is over, folks, I'm inviting you all to join me down here, and we're going to have one big red stripe party, okay? But with that said, I'm going to slip over now to this more serious stuff to try to bring you up to date as to what's going on with COVID-19, okay? And this release that I'm reading from actually was this morning, so there has been an update to that, which I'll get to in a minute. This morning, Saturday, May 9th, Jamaica recorded 16 additional recoveries from COVID-19 and 8 new confirmed positive cases over the last 24 hours. This brings to 78 the total number of recoveries and to 498 the number of confirmed cases of COVID-19. Now, there are some people out there that's going to correct me right away because, yes, folks, I have an update, but I'm purposely reading this update to you because this was what was released from last night into this morning. And to just show you how things changed, I'm going to update you as to what actually happened during the day today, so you can have an idea of what's going on, because it's important for you to see the trend to be able to understand some of the things I'm going to talk about when it comes to COVID-19. Okay. So, basically speaking, there are two imported cases. The 8 new confirmed cases included 5 males and 3 females with ages ranging from 23 to 76 years. 2 are imported cases, both of them males, aged 23 and 30 years from St. Anne's. Okay? Now, bear in mind how close St. Anne's is to St. Mary, folks. And I'll come back to that. Okay? Another 2 of the newly confirmed cases are 25-year-old female and 57-year-old male from the communities under quarantine in St. Mary. The communities of Anata Bay, Dover, and Enfield in St. Mary were placed under 14-day quarantine effective Thursday, May 7th. So for 14 days, Dover, Anata Bay, and the Enfield area of St. Mary is under what's technically a lockdown, but our government does not like to use the word lockdown because it actually is not a total lockdown. It's just a very restricted curfew where residents can't leave and go into the area, but within the area, there are certain dates that they can do stuff like go to the supermarket, but that area now is under quarantine. And the Parish Health Department is conducting contact tracing in the communities, and that's one of the reasons that community is on a lockdown. And I want to come back to that because that's on the North Coast, folks, but it's relative. People from Alligator-upon listening out there right now, it's relative to Alligator-upon and this South Coast that we're on, because if we don't behave ourselves, we're going to end up like what's going on in St. Mary Dover and Enfield right now. Okay? 37 samples were collected from Enfield on Thursday. All 37 results have been received and included two positives, 34 negatives, and one pending. The two positive persons were placed in isolation. Okay? The other four of the eight new cases recorded in the last 24 hours are all contacts of cases. They are two females and two males from Kingston and St. Andrew, with ages ranging from 26 to 76 years. There are 224 confirmed cases that were related to the workplace cluster in St. Catherine that, if you remember correctly, caused St. Catherine to be shut down for in excess of 2 weeks. Okay? At this time, there are 37 imported cases, 224 cases that were actually confirmed related to the workplace cluster in St. Catherine, 187 that are contacts of confirmed cases, including 93 who are contacts of employees in the workplace cluster in St. Catherine, 24 that are local transmission, not epidemiologically linked, and 26 are under investigation. The figures that were updated following the investigations, review, and reclassification of cases on investigation. 303, or 61%, of the confirmed cases are female, and 195, or 39%, are male. Okay? The number of samples tested in the last 24 hours is 256, bringing the total number of samples tested on the island to 6,889. Of the 6,889, in addition to the 498 positives, there are 6,341 negatives and 50 pending. Now, folks, that was the update that I put together from early this morning, which was reported last night. What has happened since then? Out of Kingston, Jamaica today comes on the Jamaican Observer. After today's report from the Ministry of Health and Wellness, Jamaica now has 502 positive cases of COVID-19, with four new cases occurring over the last 24 hours. Okay? So the figures are going up as I'm collecting them. And, you know, you've heard me for the last few weeks talking about the reasons for spread, managing the spread, and getting this spread under control. The latest spread that escalated occurred in St. Mary. Now, people from Alligator-upon listening to this show tonight have heard me talk about Alligator-upon River and the not practicing of social distancing and the not practicing of gatherings less than 10. And then not practicing it by the boats in Alligator-upon, and not wearing your masks, and so on and so forth. People think that I am just going a little bit overboard on this. But listen to this, okay? And listen to what happened. The St. Mary lockdown, folks, and I'm appealing to my people over here in Alligator-upon, which is my community, to listen to this very carefully. The St. Mary lockdown, a huge funeral held in Anata Bay recently against the guidelines outlined by the health ministry and the travels of a security guard who lives at Dover 3 miles outside of Anatabe, headed to the easternmost parish of Portland, are said to be at the heart of this surge. The funeral of, get this, gangster Howie Wilson, known also by the alias Perry, who was buried on Sunday, April 26th at the Anata Bay Cemetery, not only raised eyebrows and concern, but was said to have attracted people from COVID-affected St. Catherine, who somehow defied curfew orders imposed by the government and attended the final send-off. Alligator Pond, do you remember when St. Catherine was closed down and 5 people made it into Alligator Pond, and I got really upset about that and said we should find them and get them where they for help so that we don't have a spread? Well, here it is now. Anata Bay, Enfield, and another area of St. Mary is now closed down. Now, Alligator Pond, we're going to be talking about fishing and the fishing industry in Alligator Pond, how valuable it is, not only for the selling of fish, but tourism and the livelihood of everybody else in Alligator Pond, and how a COVID-19 outbreak in Alligator Pond would affect that industry. Alligator Pond is part of the South Coast. This is Jamaica South Coast Show. So that's why I'm emphasizing that. Once again, folks, if you want to say something, if you want to ask a question, if you want to talk about it, figures that I just put out there for you, call this number, 661-467-2407. Press the number 1 on your phone if you want to talk to me, and I'll know you have a question. Okay? Now, let's slip over from St. Mary and go over into Trelawney as to what happened this week. 34 people were arrested and charged for breaching the Disaster Risk Management and the Dangerous Drugs Act in Trelawney on Friday. The police said the persons, including one pregnant woman, were charged after they were found at a river participating in an entertainment event. In spite of concerns about the COVID-19 pandemic, from which Jamaica has so far confirmed 490 cases and 9 deaths, one bar operator was also arrested. A bag containing the vegetable matter believed to be marijuana was also seized. Police said they also found out that a large number of persons held in the operation had traveled from other parishes to participate in the event. Police said at about 3:30 p.m., a team of officers went to Bengal River to the parish where a large group of persons were seen. This operation, folks, comes just after another 18 persons were arrested and charged by a team of police personnel from the Public Safety and Traffic Enforcement Branch at the Kingston Central Police for breaching of the Disaster Risk Management Act on Orange Street in downtown Kingston. Police reports are that at about 7:15 p.m. on Saturday, May 2nd, a team of officers was on patrol on Orange Street when they heard loud music playing and proceeded to investigate the source and saw persons gathered at the location. That was a pause, folks. That was an intentional pause. Why did I pause? Because breath is valuable. Breath is life. Now, if I am here week after week saying to you, come to your yard if you don't have to leave your yard. Wear your masks. Observe social distancing. Don't gather in groups of 10. And if you are in an infected area, don't venture out to non-infected areas, because a lot of people are doing what they're doing now because of the restrictions that they have. The bars are closed, so guess what? the bartenders and the bars moved their operations to public beaches and rivers and along little parks to still carry on the business for two reasons. Reason number one, for the money. Reason number two, Jamaicans, I know we are a very social set of people, and man, we love to party and we love to be together and everything. But folks, curfew is 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. No gatherings of 10 or more. Social distancing of 6 feet apart. And observe the curfews. Wear your mask if you're in public places. And if you're in a public passenger vehicle, everybody wear a mask. Alligator Pond is a fishing village. Alligator Pond needs that fishing industry to survive. If the sale of fish was to be stopped in Alligator Pond, every single business in Alligator Pond would have to shut down because they would have no income, absolutely zero income at all. How is that? The fishermen sell their fish. They make money. The people that come from outside of Alligator Pond, which on a daily basis, 7 out of every 10 people, maybe that's in Alligator Pond or down here by the river, are actually not from this area. But they bring income into the area by spending money. So if Alligator Pond was to be affected by COVID-19 and had to be shut down, all of that would stop people. Stop, period, stop. It would be St. Mary and St. Catherine all over again. I'm appealing to the people in Alligator Pond here on the South Coast in Jamaica to think about something. What, and ask yourselves this question. If Alligator Pond was shut down where you couldn't get your fish out of Alligator Pond and nobody that wanted to buy fish could come into Alligator Pond to buy fish, what would happen to you? You ask yourself a question and you answer yourself that question. Again, the question is, if you want to call me about it, call me. If Alligator Pond was to shut down right now, and no fish could leave Alligator Pond, and nobody could come into Alligator Pond to buy fish, what would happen to you? Answer yourselves that question. And then let's go on now to why I asked that question. This past week, last Saturday, I went to Junction. This past Friday, I went to Mandeville. I had to take a bus from Alligator Pond to Mandeville. Only about 50% of the people in that bus were wearing masks. Now remember what the government says. If you are in a public transportation vehicle, you should be wearing a mask. Not only that, folks, of the 50% that was wearing the mask, it's only about 30 or 50% of that 50% that was wearing it correctly. When you wear your mask, your nose is not supposed to be exposed, and the mask is not supposed to be on your chin or around your neck. It is supposed to be covering your mouth and your nose. Now, as I walked from the river here across through the backwoods to get out to Alligator Pond Town to take that route bus, I passed the people in the square, of which I think I could count maybe 5 of the over 40, 50, 60 people that I might have said passed by the cash pot store, by the supermarkets, under the shop face, just gathered around in the street, gathered by the boats, gathered down by the fish vendors. I maybe could have counted maybe maximum 5 or 6 people that was wearing a mask, not to mention those that were within less than a foot of each other, hugging and talking and spitting in people's and faces and stuff like that. This is Alligator Pond. Now I get into the bus, have my mask on, keep my face right by the window where the breeze was blowing the whole time going up the hill to Mandeville. And I get to Mandeville. Now, it's a different story in Mandeville because if you're not wearing a mask in Mandeville, the police are going to arrest you. So guess what? More than 95% of the people I saw in Mandeville were wearing masks. And if they weren't wearing a mask, the police was getting on top of them. I go to every store that I went to in Mandeville. Every single store I went to in Mandeville, you had to spray with sanitizer before you come in, and you could not enter the store unless you had a mask on. The banks, same thing. Now, in Alligator Pond, we're 100% dependent on Alligator Pond staying open in order for us to not suffer from an economical tragedy in addition to COVID-19. We're not caring. You know what? We still have zero cases, but boy, I'm telling you, we're playing some Russian roulette here. We're gambling. It's almost like gambling the lotto. Okay? And the point is, folks, I go to Mandeville and I go to Junction, and those people are observing the rules. Guess what? You know what the irony of that is? Most of the people coming into Alligator Pond are coming from Mandeville and Junction. And they're coming in, and most of them, for the most part, especially the ones that are coming to eat by Oswald's or Little Ochi or Bunch Grapes, they're wearing their mask until they have to eat. And they're ensuring, a lady came down from Mandeville to buy some fish, and I went out to meet her to help her to get, and she treated me to lunch at Oswald's. And she made sure that anybody that was serving her had to have a mask and made sure that they sanitized the table before we sat down to eat. But these are people from outside of the area, from areas that already have infection. Okay? Why aren't we staying at our yard? We should go out only when we have to. And when we do go out, why are we not taking the precautions here in Alligator Pond? And like I said, I'm going to tell you and ask you again. Ask yourself the question. If Alligator Pond was supposed to be shut down tomorrow, what would we do? While you contemplate that question, and I see that there is a couple of calls here on the board. I don't know if any of you want to ask a question before I go to a little break here. If you want to ask a question, go ahead and press 1 on your phone, please. Press 1 on your phone, and I'll know you have a question, and I will take your call before I go to the break. If not, folks, and if I don't see anybody asking for a question right now, in celebrating Mother's Day today, I'm going to switch over to a song that I heard today for the first time as I was looking for some Mother's Day song, and I'll come right back. Once again, if you have a question, it's 661-467-2407. Press 1 on the phone if you have a question, and I'll take your question. In the meantime, here's a little piece about my mama from Elaine, a really sweet song that I listened to today.
And taught me how to live it, how to crawl, how to walk, how to run. You gave me love and taught me how to give it, made me believe I could fly. And everything you did for me, you did it all the way. Never held back anything. With open arms you held me, kept me safe, dried every tear from my eyes. And so I dedicate my life to you, to always make you proud. And every day I wake, I pray that God will keep you safe and sound, Mama. You are the one that I sing to, the rock that I cling to, your love has brought me through. Follow my
Yes, folks, that's Elaine talking about Mama. And, you know, before I go to my next point, I see that we have a call here, and it's an overseas call. Well, I'm not. It's from Jamaica, but it's an overseas call because you have to call an overseas number. So I'm going to go ahead and take this call. Because I want to talk a little bit about Elaine's song about Mama and how relevant Mama is on the South Coast and how relevant Mama is for the COVID-19 right now. But in the meantime, I see I have a question, a caller that has a question here, and it is 876-586. Good evening, caller. Thank you for calling. You're on the Jamaica South Coast show. How are you tonight?
Good night, Maurice. I am good. This is Connie calling.
Hi, Connie. How are you? Thank you for calling. How are you doing today? Happy Mother's Day. I think you're a mommy, aren't you?
Yes, I'm a mommy and a granny.
Wow, happy Mommy's Day.
Yes, I had a wonderful day today. My daughters, I saw all of them and my grandchildren. It was wonderful, and I had a lovely meal and wine and the whole works before I had to run home because of curfew. I just signed on, so I didn't get a chance to hear everything you were saying, but I heard Elaine's song, and it's a really, really, truly beautiful song, and it's so real to mothers, really. She had a beautiful mother. I don't know. Her mother is a beautiful person. I knew her from she sang that song, Come Join the 5% Mortgage Revolution. I think it was a Victoria Mutual ad. Most beautiful song. Her mother was a hairdresser, and she used to sing and do hair. She used to just, both of them sometimes, they would sing together, right?
Wow.
For mothers now, I want to wish all the mothers happy Mother's Day. It's still Mother's Day up to 12 o'clock tonight. Normally, persons would go out, take the parents out, and have a grand time. You know, everywhere would be locked and blocked out totally. You have to make bookings and all of that, and you have to wait. Have you ever been to Cheesecake Factory in Florida or one of them places? You have to wait
yes,
in line
ma'am.
And take
yes,
a paper.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Was one of my favorite places.
Yes, so it's something like that normally happens in Kingston here. And let me tell you something. Everybody has to stay home and respect the protocol and the laws of the land. So you find that, okay, the restaurants, they have been quite worried, and they have had to turn their hand to make fashion and see how they can do this business, make it work, because they have fromage, this restaurant, fromage, they have a set of restaurants, really nice exotic food.
That's the South Coast, you know. Kingston is part of the South Coast as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, well. Kingston, well, it's an easy run, and it's going to get even easier when they finish the road. I don't know.
Yeah,
how long
I know.
It's come down to. Yes, it's going to be easier. Just that stretch from Maypen to Mandeville. That's, and then somewhere on your strip, Lucy, that stretch coming down to Alligator Pond. I don't remember how good it is, but I'm sure that all of these roads will be easy to traverse.
I can tell you that from Gutters to Downs is exceptionally good. From Downs just to before Alligator Pond is fairly good. And from just before Alligator Pond into Alligator Pond is like a highway. That's how good it is right now, because they just finished that piece. Now, I heard you mention about the Maypen to Mandeville. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, Connie, that actually, and I'm glad we're on this topic because it's a little bit off COVID, which is good, but this is talking about the South Coast now, which is what this show is really about. You know, Connie, I have mixed feelings about the highway. Because, as
you
may know, I am an advocate of eco-community tourism.
Yes.
So many times I've seen highways built in Jamaica and these beautiful roads built in Jamaica and built right through the properties of people that were vendors along the old route. For example, from Maypen to Mandeville.
Yeah.
You look at what's going to happen to the orange and the star apple and the vendors in Porus. What's going to happen to them?
Yeah.
What's going to happen to the bars in Porus? What's going to happen to Fireside in Maypen?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's one of the that's where I have mixed feelings. I want to see the nice roads and I want to see all of this. I really think that in making these roads and these highways, we really should take the interest of the vendors along, because that's their living, you know. And like, for example, when Melrose Hill was one of the most dangerous hills in that area from going up to Mandeville. And that Winston Jones Highway solved that problem. And it was incredible that the Rosyam people didn't suffer, because Shengdon, along with the government, actually built that Yam Park. So no, that didn't displace them. I would like to see these developers of our highways think a lot more along that lines and provide facilities for our vendors. That's just a touch on that topic a little bit.
Yes. But you know something, Maurice? I have gone, when last have you gone down to Ocheria's side? That's the road that they
Ocheria's,
have gone down to.
And it was in Ocheria's. I think Ocheria's, not this trip because because COVID restrictions came in. So I would say I was in Ocheria, I think 2019. Yeah, 2019.
I was in Ocheria. Oh, because, yes, me too. Because I noticed that they have built somewhere for people to go. They have rest stops, and they have this area where you can park and go buy your food, because they had yam vendors and the soup and the chicken and all of that
road. That's where it should be. That, because, you know, I was so upset with what happened to the Face Pen vendors. Because when I drive Ocheria South, I don't... What's that?
They have built something, because when the last time I went down to Runaway Bay, and I saw where they have like a marketplace over there. I didn't stop because you're so focused on reaching where you want to go. I was heading to a funeral, I think. Yeah. So I had no plans to stop.
And
the road is a bit lonely.
That's how it should be.
And they have a gas station as well.
And that's how it should be, because we can't displace the source of income running a highway through it, and they're not going to benefit from it at all. Eco-community tourism says that the communities, whatever development you do in communities, the communities should benefit from it. Exactly.
Yes.
No, not just things.
Okay.
They're the ones that should be benefiting from it, not the outsiders.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
that's
concept.
It.
But I, I thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
Have you guys thought of writing to the authorities, the powers that be, to think about the road that they're going to build and to get a plan, an idea, per se, of where they're going to stretch it? Because as it is now on the toll road that leads from Kingston right down to Maypen, at the end of the toll, there is a vendor who sells, like, mangoes and some kind of fruit along that stretch.
That's right after Osborne Park,
Right, but you have all of those vendors that you stop to buy oranges and coconut until you reach to the patty place there in before you go to Porus. I'm wondering where they're going to build
Osborne
the road.
Store. The Osborne Store area, the toll gate Osborne Store area.
Well, you know how I see it. You know how I see it, Maurice. You guys have to write, and they have to make allowances for all of these vendors if they're going to bypass them, because you'll have people driving on the old road still. It's not like they're going to cut out that road, because people live around that area. It's well populated. So there is no way they could cut out Porus. There's no way Porus will always be there. They have to build around it and make allowances,
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Okay, let me explain to you what the problem is. You see the road that is going to be built from Maypen to Mandeville?
Uh-huh.
That contract and decision was made years ago.
Oh.
And it's the same thing. You have to remember this highway system being paid for and sponsored by the Chinese were all part of the original China Harbor Agreement, under which the Boat Isle, Port Royal, Cockpit Country, sugar companies, bauxite companies were all a part of that agreement through the last 3-4 governments. So, you see, and that's one of the things that I admire Jason and Jake's over in the Treasure Beach area, and that's why I'm trying to get Alligator Pond to model themselves off of Treasure Beach. Because Jake, Brett, the Treasure Beach Foundation, and all of those people, they were very proactive in eco-community tourism. So they ensured that whatever development of that area was a sustainable income for the community. And that is what we need to do. We can't wait. For example, Alligator Pond River right now. Mm-hmm. It's accessible to the public, very accessible to the public, okay? It's been there from I was a boy growing up. And here it is, I'm living right beside the river right now. The fact of the matter is, any major resort that can get their claws in here will do so because it's a perfect place to put up a resort.
So you need you guys need to stop it.
Exactly, which is exactly what they did in Treasure Beach, and that's what I'm advocating here in Alligator Pond, and that's why the organization. First thing I'm trying to do right now is I'm trying to get the Senate to declare Alligator Pond River and that area from Port Kaiser all the way down to Alligator Pond Square as an environmental and natural preserve.
Yes, it's really beautiful.
If we can get that done,
and they're really beautiful.
Right.
Really
if we can get that done, then no resorts can come in here because it'll be classified environmental land.
And you guys need to advertise it and do everything while COVID is going on. Life goes on the same way. So what you do is advertise and do everything and just WhatsApp, write messages to wherever to see if how can you guys develop down there. You guys need to make some form of development. You know, you have like housing for people to stop over for a weekend or something like that. Because
we do have that. No, it's just a matter of getting it out into the public eye, which is part of what this show is going to be about and also part of my advocacy environment here in Alligator Pond.
Do you have somewhere to stay down there? Because after at dinner this evening, the topic of discussion, after I finished my show, I had conversation with the family. We normally go out in a big group, like on occasions like this, and Easter time, Christmas time, we normally go somewhere. So
we do have
I was listening to them. Oh, you do?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Okay, because I was suggesting to them that we come down.
Oswald himself just finished the second cottage on his property, right behind his restaurant, the beautiful cottage. If you go to my page, you will actually see it. There's an album on my page, and you'll see that actual cottage. We have here the Sea River. It's more of a less than, it's a very low-end place right now, some refurbishing.
Yeah.
Along Post Road, we also have a couple of villas over there and guest houses over there. And I'm working with the community now to try to explain to them the bed and breakfast philosophy
concept,
where rooms and stuff within homes can be offered to visiting guests.
Okay. And it's crime-free down there. If you want to come somewhere where it's safe.
I'd say it's a zero crime rate down here. As a matter of fact, most of the houses down here don't even have burglar bars anymore.
Oh, great.
I shouldn't announce it quickly, but I sleep with my door and window open at night.
Yes, I understand.
You know, so it is a very safe neighborhood. And that's what eco-community tourism does. It's the same as in Treasure Beach. Treasure Beach is practically crime-free. That's what eco-community tourism. If you notice the tourism areas in which there's a high crime, it's mostly where they're all in the resorts.
Yes. You know what
This is great that this topic went into this tonight because this is actually what this show is supposed to be about.
Okay, great. You know what just came to me a while ago? If you can sensitize like people, like have meetings, you know, like people who are leaders in the community, who are strong and who will, you know,
meet in small groups,
even at distance, talk on the phone to prepare for this, the coming of this big thing that's going to happen down there. Like, you see, just like how they rallied around, and when you're going into a community, you have to sanitize your hands, and they welcome you into the community, and it's a nice, warm feel. It's something like that. In Hanover, they had it, and they had it in another parish
That's why Hanover has zero rates of infection right now.
Yes. So it's something like that. You'd want to get the villagers involved,
The COVID-19 outbreak and they not being able to gather kind of stopped that for now. But we have the Angels of Alligator Pond. We have the Alligator Pond Citizen Association. We have Oswald. Black at Little Ochi. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm opening up a bar and grill as soon as this, and it's at the wedding reception area, which I'll be holding meetings. So we're already under and been ongoing these groups that I just, we have Kadeen with over there in the police, in the police youth club, all of those places, and the guest homes owners along the coast road, all coming together and promoting that concept, and meetings were actually taking place on the plan. The member of parliament has gotten involved with it. We've kind of gotten the Minister of Tourism to get involved. So, yes, we're on our way to do almost exactly all that you're suggesting right now.
So you don't want anything fancy like on the North Coast. You want something totally different on the South Coast.
No, we want it to be exactly the way.
Somebody has a bus. Huh?
We want it to be exactly the way it is.
Right.
We want it to
That's what I'm saying. And then you offer you have people where you can offer a service like to drive to an attraction like the cave site of the cave or somewhere in your own community, your section of the world.
That's already, as a matter of fact, yours truly, Maurice Harrison, will be doing a lot of that after COVID is lifted. As a matter of fact, I already have about 7 families that are coming to this area. And I will be driving them around. The attractions in our area is Wyeth Falls, Lover's Leap.
That's the one I was trying to remember.
The Pelican Bar, Mandeville.
So after COVID, God's willing, we just had a discussion. After COVID, God's willing, South Coast, here we come. But you be prepared and make sure that you have... you know, all the fish and everything that you're showing off.
Yeah, and red stripe too. And red stripe.
Yeah, and the red stripe. Well, you know, drink Heineken. Heineken. What do you call it now? Heineken.
All righty, my dear.
The Heineken
so,
with the flavor.
Looking forward to getting with you after COVID. And yes, we're going to have some fish. And what I'm going to talk about next is the same drawing, the catching of the fish, and an experience that I had this past week that's also tourism related. And believe me, there's no place that you're going to get fish like Alligator Pond. But thank you for the call. And yes, it's refreshing to be able to talk about something on this show that this show was actually meant to be, and something besides just COVID-19.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Maurice. I'll continue listening. Great, great show as usual.
All right. Thank you. Yours too. Have a great night.
Okay. You too. Thank you.
That was Connie. And, you know, this is kind of like what the show is going to be like when we get through this COVID-19 things, talking about exactly the things that she's talking about there. Some of it we already started to do, but with not being able to gather and not have meetings and stuff, and we don't really have a lot of streaming capabilities here. And that's what it's all about. These attractions, the bed and breakfasts, not changing the cultural setup of the community, keeping the community the way it is, but bringing in the income and bringing in people to participate in the community. This is what the Jamaica South Coast Show is all about. And folks, you're listening to the Jamaica South Coast Show, and you are listening to it on the Caribbean Radio Show, which, as you can tell from this show so far today, is the knowledge station, and this is the type of stuff we bring to you and try to bring you the information. This show in particular is more dedicated towards the South Coast, and I'm live here in Alligator Pond. This is Maurice Harrison. If you want to call in, ask a question, the number is 661-467-2407. Press 1 on your phone. And folks, just before we spoke to Connie, I had played this song. The first song that opened up the show, Mama by Garnet Silk, I did that on purpose because we're talking about the South Coast. Well, Garnet Silk is from only about maybe 15, where he lived. Was only about 15, 20 minutes drive from where I'm talking to you from right now. So he's from this area. He's a native or was a native of the South Coast. And Garnet Silk sang that song to his mama. And the irony of Garnet Silk is that Garnet Silk died trying to save his mother from a fire. Okay? Now, Elaine sings this song about mama. And the reason I see there's a question coming in, and I'm going to take this question in a minute, but I just want to make this point real quick. And that is the song by Elaine and about mama. Folks, mama and Mother's Day has a lot to do with how you act with COVID-19. A lot of these young folks, they go out and they're still partying, they're getting ready to get at the river and so on and so forth. Guess what? A lot of them still live in a yard with mommy and grandma and grandpa. If they pick up the virus out here in Alligator Pond or on the beach or at a party or in a bar playing dominoes and they take it home to mama and grandma, who, by the way, because of their age are in the vulnerable group, how is that helping for Mother's Day and respecting your mother and your grandparents, folks? And that's why I played that song. And with that, I'm asking you to just bear that in mind as I take another question from another caller. This caller is from 540353. And this caller, you're on the air. Good evening and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Maurice. Thanks for taking my call.
Are you a mommy?
I am a mommy a million times over.
Have a mommy's day a million times over.
A million times over.
But wow.
I called to register my complaint against your posting on my page on Facebook. I think I am getting to the point of I am not hungry and hanger at the same time. You're placing all of those beautiful food from Jamaica, your lifestyle on the beach, getting the fresh food out of the ocean and onto your plate. And as even as I'm complaining, I'm salivating at the same time here. it is tough when we watch those beautiful lifestyle there. But anyway, I am so happy. At least you get the opportunity to retire to such a beautiful thing. And your caller before Miss Connie, he loved the sister Queen Connie. We'll be coming down there to raid your pot soon after this COVID thing.
All I can tell you is hurry up and come because we have a lot of it down here for you. And let me tell you this, okay? Yes, I may be showing off a little bit or a lot, but one of the reasons I do these Facebook presentations of what I'm eating and where I'm going and so on and so forth is that I realized during this COVID-19, from the calls that I've had and from the people that I've spoken to, how many people actually had plans to come to Jamaica and how many people had plans to come to this very area and are not able to come. And part of my presentation of these videos, yes, I will admit it's a little bit of a showing off, but a lot of it has to do with the fact that I want people to at least get a little bit of an experience during these tough times and maybe you know, make them feel a little bit happier by being able to see it and being brought to them live. If you get my drift.
Yes, I definitely. Well, I mean, it is very stimulating. A lot of times, and I don't want to take up too much of your time, a lot of times we think about Jamaica and, you know, it's in our distant memory for a lot of us who have lived there a long time ago. But to see, actually, I think there's something about your videos. I know you're showing off, but at the same time, it does bring us a joyfulness. I think you have a playfulness to it, presenting it. And for a lot of folks who probably never envisioned Jamaica like that, it is very, very stimulating to see these and to see how you blend into the community and know that a community that we probably was familiar with years ago, quietness, I mean, familiar with people, people working together, doing for each other, being kind to each other. I think that's what I get out of your posting, and it's very, I mean, haunting, if you might say, and it just gives you the opportunity to say, wow, I want some of that too. So although I'm a little bit angry, I am thankful at the same time. I don't know if you can be both, but I'm a little bit angry, and not angry, but hungry and angry, but thankful that you're able to bring this to us. I mean, it is really, really brilliant, and just give me an appetite.
Great, and that was the whole idea. And you know, I thank you for the compliment. And it back home in Jamaica, like we'll send a very nice way. I grudge you, grudge me, but and you say, yeah, man, grudge. I'm trying to appeal to, because I hear so many people abroad talk about how things have changed and the areas of Jamaica and what happens in Jamaica. Even on our group pages, I see the posts are actually other areas of Jamaica. And I think I'm trying to get the message across that there are still areas of Jamaica that have not changed much. There's no crime. It's secure. The people are friendly. They're kind. I can't walk a day out of this place that I'm living in and somebody not offering me either some melon, some cantaloupe, some fish, some scallion, or something. Okay? And this is not just because of me. This is how we live in this area. And this is how we live with everybody. There's a lady staying very close to here, and one of the guys next door at the river, she just wanted to go up in the hills and see what the hills were like all the day today. He just took her up there and showed her everything up there. No charge, no nothing, just because he wanted the lady to see and appreciate our area. This is the kind of people that live here. And that's what we're trying to promote and let people understand that. Come on over on the South Coast, folks. It's a really great place to be. And we welcome you all over here. COVID-19, in my opinion, is going to be around for a while, but we are going to be open. It's my belief that starting June 1st, we're going to see a progressive opening of different parts of the country and countries abroad as well. And I think we're going to return to not normal, not full normalcy, but there's going to be some sense of normalcy, because let's face it, COVID-19 is here to stay, so we just have to find a way to manage it, manage the spread, and we have to make sure that we don't collapse the country's economy while doing it, and just concentrate on the areas in which it is exposing. If they're breaking the rules and we get a case, then guess what? We just lock down the area. But we can't lock down the entire country. Hey, 95%, you know, of the people of Jamaica are abiding by the rules. But the 5% is enough to cause a spread. So let's just go after those 5%, but we can't stop the other 95% from actually being able to eat the food, because guess what? If they get cut off from their food supply, which is jobs and money and income, they're going to start breaking the rules. And the fact of the matter is, caller, right now, here in Alligator Pond and around the country, that agitation is being seen because prior to 2 weeks ago, the river wasn't crowded. People were observing, but now I'm starting to see the crowds come in again. And guess what? Curfew is 6 o'clock, which means you're supposed to be home at 6. They're leaving the river at 6:30 in the evening. So one way or the other, if the government doesn't start opening up with restrictions, the people are still going to go ahead about their business, and you're going to get that spread anyway, but you're also going to get a collapse of an economy. That's my take on the matter. You understand, caller?
Yes, sir. I mean, plainly. I'm thinking, listening to you in the week, and I'm sure I won't miss your show at all. The way you deliver the message, boy, I'd be. I mean, if everybody listened to you, I'm thinking that the community would get back to normal in no time if we obey all of these restrictions. And I think here in the United States, it's just about the same thing. I think we have to be the country and the people to adapt quickly. That is the means for survival. It's not the fittest of the fittest this time, but it's for those who can adapt quickly. And with what I'm seeing and looking from the photographs and the scenes that you're presenting on your Facebook, I think people are doing pretty much, and also the spread that is going on in Jamaica, really, really contained. I think the government, along with the 99% of the folks, are really adhering to this and understanding that the resource going to be really spent, if anything other than how it's going along here right now. If it gets blown out of proportion, we're going to be in for a lot of trouble.
I quite agree with that, and you're 100% right. And I thank you very much for the call. I thank you very much for your comments, and it's all on point. And keep being angry, because it's a good type of angry, and I see you guys soon right over here on the South Coast, okay? Have a great night, and happy Mother's Day again. So, folks, that's what it's all about, you know, and it's understanding that this COVID-19 is here to stay. So basically speaking, as a nation, we have to find a way to manage it and control the spread, because make no mistake, it's going to spread, folks. Okay? It's a matter of controlling the spread, being able to conduct business, and being able to open up back our country so that, you know, we can have our visitors again to the South Coast. We can have the guys coming in at Little Ochi and Oswald's and Bunch of Grapes and Miss Patty's Cookshop and Cadine's Bar and Sabina's Bar and all the other bars in the area come down by river, and they don't have to worry about having to leave at 6 o'clock. We can stay until night, and you can have your fish and your dumplings and enjoy Hot Sand Island with my brethren Marcus over there and drink some of his roots drinks that he makes from the roots in the hills. Folks, there's so much to do. And I'm going to talk when I get back from this little music break here in celebration of Mother's Day a little about two experiences or three experiences that I have, as we have about 21 minutes left in this show, but I want to talk about them real quick. But just before we do that, let's stay with the theme of Mother's Day. And this is one of my favorites as well, coming from the man called Sizzler himself, Mama.
Okay. Hey, Mama. Hi, Mama.
Oh, my, oh, my. Oh, Mama, don't cry. Gonna give you money from so high.
Reaching out to all the mothers in the world. Sometimes just the way things ought to be, yeah.
Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering, no one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. Give you all my love, oh yeah. Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through. All those pain and suffering, no one knows the pressure you bear, just only you.
my words on mastering. Mama, I will never let you down. I'll never go away. I'll always be around. You know why you do it, such love that you found. I'm always gonna let you wear that crown. Through the roughest of times, you maintain your calm, Jah was your only end, while sheltering me from the storm. And when it's cold, you wrap me in a towel so warm. Oh my, oh my, I'm so glad I was born. Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through all those pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. Give you all my love, oh yeah. Oh, thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through all those pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. This is my word, I'm gonna make you so proud. Such good son you have. You're the one who teaches me all the good from the bad. Even when the system keeps pressuring my dad, you got I owe. Thanks be unto the Most High God. Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through all those pain and suffering. No one knows the pressure you bear, just only you. Give you all my love, oh yeah. Thank you, Mama, for the 9 months you carried me through all those pain and suffering.
Thank you, Mama, for the time that you carried me through, by the Man Sizzler himself, another conscious artist. That, you know, and the message in this song is thank you, Mama, for what you've carried me through. And my appeal to everybody out there as we celebrate Mother's Day today, how does that tie in with Jamaica South Coast and COVID-19? Well, like I said before, folks, remember this virus is not detrimental to the younger or the people that are not parents. But as you go up into the parents mode, where we get A, older people, parents and grandparents, B, more people are susceptible to the virus, or people that have pre-existing conditions like diabetes, heart problems, hypertension, asthma, and a low immune system. So that points to, on a day where we're all talking about loving our mothers today and happy Mother's Day and everybody sharing stories about their moms, just remember, folks, if you take the precautions that are laid out for you by the government of Jamaica in terms of handling this virus, you will actually be showing more love for mommy and grandma and your children that has children, you know, if you just protect yourself and others from this virus by washing your hands with soap and water. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands. Covering your nose and mouth with tissue when coughing or sneezing, then throw the tissue in the trash. Avoid close contact with anyone with cold or flu-like symptoms. Cleaning and disinfecting frequently touched objects and surfaces. Staying home when you're sick, and if in need of medical care, call your doctor or the numbers provided by the Ministry of Health and Wellness. The basic number that you should remember is 8881-LOVE. That's 888-663-5683, folks. Show some love for your mommy by not taking the virus home to her. That's my advice, and that will be the best Mother's Day present that you could give to mommy today and every day, so that mommy will be around to celebrate another Mother's Day. I lost my mom in 2018. And I tell you what, it hit home this morning when I woke up. I still said Happy Mother's Day. Well, and it's the same thing, the people that have lost their moms. If you're on Facebook, and look us up on SafeBooksVRSRadio.com, you'll see all the posts about mothers who have passed and the tributes and how much they would want our moms back. Remember, folks, you still have your mom home right now and your grandmom home right now. But if you are reckless with this COVID-19, you're not probably going to die from it. And 99% chance that you're going to recover from it. But if you take it home to mommy, chances are mommy is not going to live. or mommy's going to have to be hospitalized. And if the hospitals don't have the space, then mommy's not going to live because the hospital won't be able to take care of mommy. So why don't you all just follow the rules and turn your yard? Stay the 6 feet apart. Practice your social distancing. Government didn't just make this up to suppress you, folks. They made this up because it was good for you and your family and your loved ones. The rest is up to you. Hey, guys, back to the South Coast and the eco-community tourism and fishing and how fishing is affected by COVID-19. The way fishing is affected by COVID-19 here in Alligator Pond on the South Coast is because there's less people coming in from other areas to get fish, there's less of a demand for fish. So the fishing industry has fallen off. With that, we have little O.J. Oswald's, Bunch of Grapes, and various restaurants, cook shops, and bars in the area that they don't get an income from either the locals and or people coming from outside of the area. You have the guys over here by the river who fry the dumplings and the fish. They're buying less fish and buying less flour to fry the dumplings because they're having less people, and those people can't actually stay and gather like they normally did. Okay? So the fishing industry is the lifeline of Alligator Pond. That's why I caution you guys. And I had an experience this week. It's not something that I'm a fan of because I realize that sane fishing actually hurts the future of fishing. But it's still a very active fishing activity here in Alligator Pond. And unfortunately, not something that we should practice a lot. And it's not something, and even if it's done, it should be something that's done based on where you're dragging the nets, how you're dragging the nets, the size of the nets, so the younger fish can get away. But with that said, I actually watched the boats this week right off my balcony as they were coming in, and there's two boats that are apart from each other, and they're drawing the net, and I got a little bit of an education about how it's done. The fishermen, they go out like from 3 a.m. in the morning, so obviously they broke curfew to go out. And they spread the net over distance, and then there's a diver or a couple of divers that goes behind the net. And see if you can picture this, folks. They go behind the net, and those divers are diving in with the net as the net is being drawn by two boats on each end. The driver is clearing the net of rocks and debris and ensuring the safety of the undergrowth and also making sure that the nets are not getting damaged. They draw this for miles because I understand you're from coming in from the Keys, which is about 9 nautical miles, which is about 3, maybe 4 miles. And they're coming in. So then the boat gets to shore, and you think, okay, fine, we're almost in. And then people are dragging the ropes and bringing in. And you realize that way, way out there that you see this little dot is the diver, and that's where the net actually is. And then as you look out, you see the porpoises, the dolphins jumping up and fins are on the outside of the net, waiting for the baby fishes and the little fish to escape so that they can themselves can get a meal. And then to watch as the boat come in, there's nobody on the shore. And then all of a sudden, there's 20, 30, 40 people coming down the beach from Alligator Pond to help to draw this seine in. And then the seine comes in, and the kids are picking up the sprats off the sand. And they're not being charged for the sprats, so that's their little bit of revenue for helping to pull in the seine. The adults, and it's funny, but watching them pulling in the seine, and I even helped a little bit, we were about 6 feet apart from each other as the seine was being pulled in. And then when the seine actually gets up, when his net actually gets up to the shore to see all the fish in there, and then the fishermen get the fish and load the fish into the boat, It reminds me of when I used to read the Bible and read about Peter and Jesus telling the fishermen to Peter to throw the net on the other side of the boat. It's not an experience that I'm actually 100% thrilled about seeing, but I must admit that in watching it, it was almost an art. And it could be ecologically developed where, and I'm sure it is because there's a lot of commercial fishermen that fish by net, that if we could environmentally develop this art of catching fish by net, that is a beautiful thing for any visitor that would be in the area to watch as it's done. And one of the positive things I saw, because I saw the catch on two straight days, and to me, it was an attraction to watch. I have my reservations because I do have some negative thoughts about what seine fishing does to the fish population. But in watching it, I must admit it's an art, and I actually at some point in time was admiring it as it was being done. It was almost like watching a concert. And then the positive thing, one of the positive things I saw is the catch that came in, I didn't even see one parrot fish in the catch. It was all snappers and jacks and grunts and a couple of butterfish, which that's a good thing because parrots, I absolutely do not like the idea of us removing parrots from the sea. So that was my same experience this week, folks, and I really liked it. Now, my second experience was the river bus. What that means, folks, is the river goes out to the sea. This is on the south coast again. Another thing that I think you'd admire watching. The Alligator Pond River comes about 2-3 miles down. It comes and then it goes out to the sea. And at the sea, because the sea gets rough at times, like if we get a north wind that's coming in from the south to the north, or if we get something coming across from the east going to the west, the sea can get pretty rough out there. So at the entrance where the river goes into the sea, the sea is washing up, and the pressure of the sea is backing the water up from the river flowing. So the river is moving some sand down its bed, and the sea is also pushing sand up, and it blocks it. So the river backs up, and the river level raises and raises and raises, sometimes even raises 2-3 feet. Friend Bunga Whistle next door here that sells fish and dumpling, the water from the river was actually about 4 days ago up under his establishment. And out by where I live, it was actually coming up to where my fence line is in my backyard, where you all saw the video of me tanning in my yard. Now, the next morning I got up and looked out my balcony, I saw the river moving. The previous day it wasn't. It was almost steady. It looked a little bit more dirty and everything like that. And I went down there. It was like a current on the river itself. So I walked down to where it goes into the sea, and I realized that about 100 yards before where it was entering the sea is where it was actually entering the sea that morning. Now, one of two things happened. Either some guys went out there and they shoveled and bust the river, or they went out the river bus by itself. I guess, folks, I think I just missed the question. If that was a question from the 713-992, could you actually go ahead and press 1 on your phone again so I know you have a question? I'm sorry. I was talking. I think you may have had a question. If you do, go ahead and hit 1 on your phone, and I'll know that you have a question, okay? So I was able to watch that river bus this week, which was not a good experience. And to be honest with you, as a visitor to this area, you would be able to experience that because that happens very regularly in this area. Now, my last experience before I leave you for the night was watching some dogs. Apparently, in this area, a lot of dogs that get abandoned are brought and left down here, and then they form packs of themselves. And they're very well fed, folks. None of the dogs here on this beach look like they're not eating. And either they're, you know, a lot of times they're being fed by the customers over by the river with the dumplings and the fish. But I found out another thing that they do. as I was looking outside my balcony, I'd see them gathering themselves and they're digging into the sand. And I'm like, well, they're digging in different positions. What are they digging for? Well, there's a lot of land crabs down in this area and they make their nests by the sea. But when they dig holes, they build channels of holes. They build a hole they can go into and another hole they can escape from. Well, the dogs know that. I was sat there and watched dogs for a good half an hour to 45 minutes yesterday and the day before. They gather in the evenings in packs of like three. One dog takes one hole. The other dog takes the other hole. The other dog takes the other hole. They dig until they meet in the middle where the crab is. So the one dog gets that crab, and then they move to another hole. The other dog gets the next crab. They move to the other hole, and the other dog gets the next crab. But it was such a fascinating thing, I just thought I'd share that with you, because this is all happening here on Jamaica South Coast. With that, folks, I just want to leave you with those great experiences that I had. Even in the COVID-19 crisis this week, was able to see those, the river bus, the dogs digging for crabs, and the seine being brought in. It is really a good life here on the Jamaica South Coast. It really is a beautiful place to be, and I'm especially happy and thankful for the Alligator Pond community for welcoming me back into this community. With that, folks, I'm going to bid you all good night. I thank you for joining me tonight. I am very happy that you were able to join me on Mother's Day. Once again, I would like to wish all the mothers out there a very happy Mother's Day. And, I'll talk to you again next week. We're going to have another show next week. I'm hoping that next week's show, we will again be able to actually talk more about Jamaica South Coast and some of the beautiful things that are over here. Let's see how that works. In the meantime, folks, thank you for joining me tonight. I'm going to leave you with another song sang by a Jamaica South Coast resident. He lives not even 10, 15 minutes from where I am right now. This is another song dedicated to Mommy by the famous Terry Linen, which is from right up here, up by Gaysland Cheapside area. Here we go. Have a great night. I'm not afraid to die.